I've given the title to what I want to talk about this morning, to simply look who's coming for Christmas. I find that I am known by a number of different names. Usually it's Stephen, which is quite handy because that's my name. So people say, hello Stephen, and I know who they are talking to usually. But not everybody calls me Stephen. My daughters call me Dad, 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 however exasperated they are with me. Their children, my grandchildren, just call me Gramps. Although I've got to admit, I've caught my daughters on more than one occasion trying to get them to call me Grumpy Gramps. That's obviously not true. And my grandchildren are wise enough not to listen to their parents. They know what side their bread is buttered, I think. As you know, I spent over 20 years working in chaplaincy, first at a hospital and then up the road at St. Francis Hospice. And I found there then a number of patients and their relatives used to call me Father. Hello, Father. Other people used to say, Padre, good morning. And immediately you knew where people were coming from. Padre, probably because of their dealings with forces and chaplains there, and maybe Father signifying their high church expectation and what have you of ministers, of priests. Sometimes people call me Pastor. A few weeks ago, I was at the crematorium and I'd finished conducting a service, and it was the end of the day and the car park was fairly empty, and I was walking back to my car and there was a group of African people who'd been there for a funeral, and they were dressed in some wonderful clothing, not like the boring British who all wearing grey and black and stuff like that. Anyway, I heard this guy saying, Pastor, Pastor, and I didn't take any notice of it. I don't know who these people were, but I suddenly realised there was only a couple of people in the car park from their group and me. Pastor, Pastor, and he started running over towards me. Pastor, Pastor. So I stood there and said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? And I thought, here we go. This is going to be some great question about life and about death and something like this. I was all braced for the important question. He said, Pastor, can you tell me where the toilets are? Oh, well, you know. You wish and you hope for some significant conversation, but I was very pleased I was able to relieve him of his problem. Now, we've been looking at the names of God, and looking in the Old Testament, you realise that in various places and at various times, God revealed himself using a different name. One God, different names, meeting people's needs wherever they encountered him. And when you're looking at the names of God, it's a little bit like holding up a diamond. One diamond, but as the light shines on that diamond, you see different things and different aspects of that one precious jewel. And as we look at the names of God, then we're able to see God in a slightly different aspect. The same God, but a different aspect of his personality and of his character. And so this morning we come to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, a book that was written many, many years before the birth of Jesus. And Isaiah is looking forward from a time of spiritual darkness to the day that Christ would come, when God would break into the world with the fulfillment of all the prophecies that he'd been speaking about. When you're in dark places and in dark times, you need a light. Today is the first day of winter. Today is the shortest day. It is the longest night. And when it is dark, we need a light. And Isaiah is looking forward, saying, there is a light coming. God is on his way. He is going to bring salvation to his people. And when Isaiah is talking about this coming of Jesus, he's just not content in just bringing one name. He describes this coming Saviour as a wonderful counsellor. Jesus would bring wise counsel, far different counsel to anything else that people had heard or listened to. The wisdom of Jesus is supreme. His authority is authoritative. When people met this man, Jesus, from Nazareth with his disciples, when they listened to him, they said all sorts of things about him, but they never said he was boring. They never said he was irrelevant. They never said, we've heard this before from other people, from the rabbis. They were amazed at what Jesus had to say. They were astonished when they listened to him. His actions and his teachings were very different. God had sent prophets one after another, and the people had listened to prophets. The prophets had invited people to get their lives right and come back into relationship with God. And sometimes the people listened. On other occasions, the people rejected what these prophets were going to say. But you know, they were all human. They were all imperfect. But when Jesus came, God turned up in the flesh. He would be a wonderful counselor. No person in history has been like Jesus. No person has split history in two from BC to AD. I know these days we live in political correct time, and we've got to have before common era and after common era. But if you ask them what made it go from one to the other, well, it's the birth of Jesus. He is a wonderful counselor. But then they said that he is Isaiah says, not only a wonderful counselor, he is a mighty God. The early Christians were just bowled over when they realized that Jesus was God. If there's one of those parts of the Bible I would have liked to have been there when it actually happened, it was when the people said, my Lord, my God, in realizing that Jesus, this mighty creator of the world, had come into the world. God hadn't just sent somebody else. But in these last days, God had spoken to us by his Son. Not a representative, but God in the flesh. If you read the Times, a newspaper, or you go online, there's a thing called the Court Circular. And the Court Circular tells you the day after what the royals had been up to on a particular day, who they'd met, what they'd opened. Not quite the number of bouquets of flowers that had been put into the Queen's hands, but, you know, it's all those details. And in the Court Circular of last week, on one of the days, it says this: Her Excellency, Mrs. Gurley Gibson, was received in audience by the Queen today and presented the letters of recall of her predecessor and her own letters of credence as ambassador for the Republic of Liberia to the court of St. James. No, she wasn't the president of that country. She could only speak as she was given her instructions from the president and the ruling court of that country. She's just simply representing that country in the United Kingdom. And that's all an ambassador is able to do. I'm not the president, I'm just the representative. But you know, when Jesus showed up, when Jesus was born, he wasn't a representative of God. He wasn't coming saying, I've heard this and I'm going to tell you all about this. When Jesus showed up, he was God. He was God in the flesh. The baby in that stall who pooed and weed and burped and all of the things that babies do. It was God. It was God who came for a Christmas. The mighty God in the form of flesh. But Isaiah says, you know, there's more. He's also the everlasting Father. As well as being the wonderful Counselor and the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father. Maybe a bit of a strange title for Jesus because, you know, he wasn't the Father, but the Father and the Son are so entwined together. But he was with the Father right at the beginning, before the creation of the world. He was with the Father in that stall in Bethlehem. And that Jesus, the everlasting God, is with us today. Didn't just show up once, but he's with us now. You know, the fatherhood of God doesn't demand a submission of all of his subjects. But the fatherhood of God is the invitation for you and for me, for all of us, to come and to know and to be blessed by a relationship with our God. But it's not just for Christmas. It's for the entire world and for our entire lives. He is everlasting from beginning to the end. The start, the beginning, the closing. Sometimes at funerals we sing hymns, Abide With Me. And it's a lovely hymn because through its narrative it speaks about the God at the beginning and the God at the end of our lives and the lives of all people. But then the final title that Isaiah gives is that he is the Prince of Peace. Who is the God we worship? He is the God of peace, who comes to establish peace by being vulnerable in this world. Through Jesus, we have reconciliation. Reconciliation between heaven and earth, between ourselves and our Creator. Jesus came to bring peace into this world, into our lives. And this is a world that needs peace very much. If I'm traveling on a train, on a tube, or now I've got a bus pass on a bus, it's I know it's a bit nosy, but you sometimes hear other conversations. And it's quite interesting what people talk about. Now, I didn't have to listen very closely yesterday in our local paper shop as the lady in front of me in the queue was talking to a guy that she hadn't seen for very long, and she was talking about, the man that she was living with until it all fell apart. We'd been together for 8 years, and then she was going on about how awful it had been and how the relationship had broken down and how they didn't get on. It was far better to be apart, and they're looking forward to a new year and hoping things could get to a better start, but he's going to have to pay some money for Christmas. You know, I'd listened to it, and I just wanted to step back away from it because it was such a conversation of angst and difficulty and disappointment and anger towards other people in a shop that was playing Christmas music. Noddy Holder, bless his socks. I wish you'd take a vow of silence. And so difficult and so hard. I'm thinking, you know, if only you knew who came for Christmas. You don't have to wait until the new year and start all over again on this cycle. You know, Jesus came to bring peace. And if there's one thing that we can give to people round about us, is something sharing of the peace that Christ has brought into our lives. It's what the world needs. It's warring against one another. And Jesus came, and he stood at the resurrection and said to people round about him, "Peace be with you." He never said to his disciples, "You got an easy life from now on." Never said to disciples, "You're going to be rich from now on." Never said to disciples, "You're going to be welcome everywhere because you're a follower of Jesus." He said, "I'm going to give you peace. You can't buy it. Nobody else can give it. You can't earn it. You can't wish that it would come. I'm going to give you peace." I've no idea what you're going to get for Christmas. I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas. I'm not really bothered what I get for Christmas. Because the greatest thing, knowing peace with God, can't be put into a little box or a big box and have paper around it and put under the Christmas tree. It can't be given and it can't be earned. But Jesus came at Christmas to bring us peace. So what does it mean, in wrapping up, that Jesus came for Christmas Day? I think it means this, that the God of the universe became a human being so that we could know him. We never find him. We couldn't go on some esoteric trip around different parts of the world just trying to find a God and hoping that you're going to meet him. God said, "You'll never do it. Don't even try. Give up. I'm going to come to you. I'll come to your house so that one day you can come to my house." That's what means for Christmas, that Jesus turning up, that we could know salvation in him. I think the second thing it means is that the God of the universe turns up. He knows our deepest need, and he's able to meet it. When we pray, we open our lives to a God who knows us and a God who wants to give us what we need. We may not always get what we think we should have. We may feel that we've been hard done in some way or another. But God knows our deepest need, which is knowing him. And his grace is sufficient to keep us and to make sure that we'll be ready to meet with him one day. The reason that Jesus came is so that we may know God. And the amazing thing is, finally, that the God who showed up at Christmas now invites us to be on his mission, to share what we have with other people. Our lives speak volumes for God. We don't have to try. It's through our character, through the Christian's kindness, this understanding that will attract other people to Jesus. As God's light has shone into our lives, may the light that he's put into our lives shine into the lives of other people round about us this Christmas time. God turned up at Christmas. And are we glad? Well, Steve is. God turned up for Christmas. Are we glad?
Yes.
Yes. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, to our wonderful counselor, trusting in your wisdom. We come to you this morning, Heavenly Father, the one who is our mighty God, believing that in Jesus you came into your world to bring us hope. You are our everlasting Father. You are the Prince who brings and restores our relationship with you, and the one who brings hope into our lives. Lord God, today, accept our worship. Accept our praise. Accept our thankfulness for all that you have done. And we are eternally grateful that you came for Christmas. Amen.